Jane took her to lunch on her first day, to a trendy restaurant down the street from their office. The sidewalk patio was packed with attractive millennials in denim and white sneakers, having conversations that involved a lot of aggressive smiling. Merritt felt ridiculous in her new work dress, in no small part because her new boss was wearing skin-tight shredded jeans, a black t-shirt, and steel-toed stiletto boots. Apparently, the frock Jane had worn for Merritt's interview had been a one-off, on loan from a stylist for a magazine shoot at a house in Nob Hill later that afternoon. Except when forced to pose for aspirational photographs in $6 million homes, Jane exclusively wore jeans. Merritt regretted ripping the tags off her new dress. Could she somehow reattach them and take the hideous thing back? Despite the crowd at the restaurant, the hostess signaled for them as soon as they walked in and took them to a corner table out back. "The scene's a bit obnoxious, but the food's pretty good," Jane said as they sat. "And there's zero chance of running into Lars or Eric here, which is the real win." "What are they like?" Merritt asked. She was dying for more intel. All she knew about the two men who owned the company that now employed her was what she'd managed to find online, namely their ages, 46 and 47, their origin story, they met in business school at Stanford, and their reputation for being disruptors in the very niche world of historic preservation design. She'd also learned that despite the fact that their last names were painted in oversized letters on the side of the warehouse they'd bought to house their new architecture firm, neither Lars nor Eric was a licensed architect. That's what they'd hired Jane for, to be the architect of record on every permit application they filed with the city. "Peter Pan and his middle-aged golden retriever," replied Jane. "It'll be obvious from your first conversation with them which one is which." "Is it weird that I got this job without meeting them?" Merritt asked. Jane shrugged. "Who cares? Lars said specifically that I should bring someone onto my team, and I didn't want to give him the impression that he had any say over who I chose." "So they could meet me and decide to fire me," Merritt mused. She was oddly elated by this. Not so much at the prospect of being fired, but at the subtle rebellion of her hiring. "They could," Jane said. "But they wouldn't. You're too attractive." Merritt nearly laughed at the absurdity of this. "So they like the tired mom look?" "Oh, stop," Jane said, rolling her eyes. "Nothing about you says tired mom." "You asked about my kids within the first 5 minutes of meeting me." "I only guessed you had them because you seemed like the type of person who would." "What type of person is that?" Merritt asked. She was suddenly acutely aware of her nipples. She'd stopped breastfeeding Nash when she first made the decision to go back to work, but she was still producing random bursts of milk. A pins and needles sensation erupted in both breasts. It didn't escape her that she'd just answered her own question, the type of person who lactates at the first mention of kids. Merritt saw Jane's eyes flick from Merritt's face to her chest, and she knew without looking that one of the breast pads she'd shoved in her very ill-fitting bra that morning had migrated to her armpit and she was leaking through her new dress. So much for taking it back. "I'm going to run to the restroom," Merritt said quickly. She slid an arm across her body and felt wetness against her wrist. "Shall I order for you?" Jane asked, keeping her eyes averted. "I'll have the tuna melt," Merritt heard herself say, even though she was quite certain she had never ordered a tuna melt in her life. She hurried toward the bathroom, arms folded across her chest. Fortunately, the bathroom had a hand dryer. Unfortunately, it was mounted at waist level, forcing Merritt to crouch over it awkwardly with her nipple jammed into the narrow opening. Though jammed was a stretch. After sputtering out half a tablespoon of milk, her left boob had resumed its normal postpartum shape, which resembled an overripe peach dangling in worn-out pantyhose. It slid right in. "This is why there is gender pay disparity," Merritt thought as her breast was pelted with air. Jane was absorbed in her phone when Merritt got back to the table.